Poor James Wilson Marshall. The guy just could not catch a break. Come out to Oregon to farm, stayed until late spring when the rains were just about to stop, and then quit in disgust and went to California, said it was too wet and soggy for him. If he'd stuck around another month, he would have been happy as a little clam. Instead, he went to California and started the California Gold Rush, which you would think would be a happy ending, wouldn't you? Well, it sort of wasn't for him. I'll tell you all about it in just a minute, but first let me introduce myself. My name's Finn J.D. John, and I write a weekly newspaper column called Offbeat Oregon History. Runs in about a dozen newspapers around the state right now. What you're listening to right now is me reading you a column from our archive. This one was first published in the newspapers on May 26th, 2009. I'm going to read it to you now. If you'd like some more information about this little podcast or about the column that it's part of, stay tuned. The beginning of the California Gold Rush is a pretty well-known story. But what's not quite so well-known is that it was started by an Oregonian. His name was James Wilson Marshall. And of course, he wasn't originally an Oregonian. He was a carpenter from New Jersey who'd come out on the Oregon Trail to set up a farm in the Willamette Valley. Well, like all the emigrants, he traveled all summer and arrived as the rains were getting started. Several months of uninterrupted precipitation later, Marshall had had enough. "Reckon I wasn't cut out for farming life," he said, and packed up and headed south. He ended up in Sacramento, of all places, where a wealthy landowner named John Sutter hired him to build a water-powered lumber mill. Sutter was building the lumber mill to make the lumber he'd need to build a flour mill nearby, which was where he expected to make his money processing the wheat he was growing. Not long afterward, Marshall was widening the tail race of the mill by opening the sluice gate at night to cause torrents of water to erode the channel. For safety reasons, he couldn't do this during the day, but he'd come back and check progress when the sun came up. Well, one morning when Marshall was doing this, he saw something glittering underwater. He stepped into the water to investigate. An hour or two later, Marshall showed up unexpectedly at Sutter's house, soaked through in a downpour. Rain seemed to be a continuing part of Marshall's life out west, eh? And asked to speak to Sutter privately. With great excitement, he showed him several ounces of very nice gold nuggets that he'd pulled out of the tail race. Surprisingly, Sutter's first thought seems to have been for his mills. He begged everyone to keep the discovery secret for just 6 weeks, just to give him time to finish the lumber mill and the flour mill. He was a developer, not a miner. So he toiled away, racing against time to save his $25,000 investment as $1 million worth of gold crunched beneath his feet. Of course word got out. Of course the labor market dried up as every able-bodied worker grabbed a gold pan and hit the hills. Of course the mills languished and Sutter lost his investment. He tried hiring miners to look for gold, but this didn't work out particularly well. One assumes they simply pocketed what they found. Then Sutter found himself plagued with aggressive squatters who hired lawyers to try to defeat his land claim, which was through the Mexican government. California was part of Mexico till the war in 1848. The squatters also filched food from his fields and stole his cattle. Quote, "By this sudden discovery of the gold, all my great plans were destroyed. Had I succeeded for a few years before the gold was discovered, I would have been the richest citizen on the Pacific shore. But it had to be different. Instead of being rich, I am ruined," he wrote. That was in 1957 in Hutchings, California magazine. Marshall fared even worse. Squatters forced him off his land, and he lacked the resources to fight them. Like Sutter, he became a miner only reluctantly and not very successfully. He tried a vineyard, but that didn't do well for him either. In the end, he wound up in a tiny cabin, eking out a living with a subsistence garden. Ironically, if he'd stayed in the Willamette Valley just one more month and experienced Oregon in the dry part of spring, he probably would have never left. His great-grandchildren would probably still be farming his land there today, and John Sutter would probably be remembered in California history as a pioneering land developer and miller, instead of as the guy who started the Gold Rush. Gold Rush probably would have started anyway, maybe a little later. Would have been better for both of these guys if it had. But as those miners were fond of saying, sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear eats you. That's the end of today's column. If you're listening for the first time, here's a little more information about this podcast and about Offbeat Oregon History, the newspaper column it's part of. Offbeat Oregon History tells the stories of Oregon history that nobody knows about, the ones everyone has forgotten. Stories of heroes and rascals, of shipwrecks and lost gold, of Shanghai'd sailors and Skid Row bordellos and pirates and robbers and buried treasure and unsolved mysteries. We've got all of those things. It's a weekly column, and I've been writing it since late 2008. So right now there are about 175 published episodes in the kitty. So every weekday morning I pull one of those episodes up and put it out on the daily RSS feeds. One in text and pictures for your newsreader, and one in audio only for your podcatcher or for iTunes. You can read any archive column and subscribe to either daily feed by going to the website at offbeatoregon.com. Both feeds are optimized for smartphone or iPhone use, but they work great on iPad, tablet, netbook, computer, whatever you got. All the columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Thanks for listening, and do drop me a line if you're ever in Corvallis and have time for a cup of coffee. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. Have a great day.